Anne-Marie was almost asleep when there was a light knock on the bedroom door. Candlelight appeared as the door opened, and her mother stepped in. Are you asleep, Anne-Marie?
No, why? Is something wrong?
Nothing's wrong, but I'd like you to get up and come out to the living room. Peter's here. Papa and I want to talk to you. Anne-Marie jumped out of bed, and Kirsty grunted in her sleep. Peter? She hadn't seen him in a long time. There was something frightening about his being here at night. Copenhagen had a curfew, and no citizens were allowed out after 8 o'clock. It was very dangerous, she knew, for Peter to visit at this time. But she was delighted that he was here. Though his visits were always hurried, they almost seemed secret somehow, in a way she couldn't quite put her finger on. Still, it was a treat to see Peter. It brought back memories of happier times. And her parents loved Peter, too. They said he was like a son. Barefoot, she ran to the living room and into Peter's arms. He grinned, kissed her cheek, and ruffled her long hair. You've grown taller since I saw you last, he told her. You're all legs. Anne-Marie laughed. I won the girls' foot race last Friday at school, she told him proudly. Where have you been? We've missed you.
My work takes me all over, Peter explained. Look, I brought you something. One for Kirsty, too.
He reached into his pocket and handed her 2 seashells. Anne-Marie put the smaller one on the table to save it for her sister. She held the other in her hands, turning it in the light, looking at the ridged, pearly surface. It was so like Peter to bring just the right gift.
For your mama and papa, I brought something more practical, 2 bottles of beer.
Mama and papa smiled and raised their glasses. Papa took a sip and wiped the foam from his upper lip. Then his face became more serious.
Anne-Marie, he said, Peter tells us that the Germans have issued orders closing many stores run by Jews.
Jews? Anne-Marie repeated. Is Mrs. Hirst Jewish? Is that why the button shop is closed? Why have they done that? Peter leaned forward.
It is their way of tormenting. For some reason, they want to torment Jewish people. It has happened in the other countries. They have taken their time here, have let us relax a little. But now it seems to be starting.
But why the button shop? What harm is a button shop? Mrs. Hirsch is such a nice lady. Even Samuel, he's a dope, but he would never harm anyone. How could he? He can't even see with his thick glasses.
Then Anne-Marie thought of something else.
If they can't sell their buttons, how will they earn a living?
Friends will take care of them, Mama said gently. That's what friends do.
Anne-Marie nodded. Mama was right, of course. Friends and neighbors would go to the home of the Hirsch family, would take them fish and potatoes and bread and herbs for making tea. Maybe Peter would even take them a beer. They would be comfortable until their shop was allowed to open again. Then suddenly she sat upright, her eyes wide.
Mama, she said, Papa, the Rosens are Jewish too.
Her parents nodded, their faces serious and drawn.
I talked to Sophie Rosen this afternoon, after you told me about the button shop, Mama said. She knows what is happening, but she doesn't think that it will affect them.
Anne-Marie thought and understood. She relaxed.
Mr. Rosen doesn't have a shop. He's a teacher.
They can't close a whole school.
She looked at Peter with the question in her eyes.
Can they?
I think the Rosens will be all right, he said. But you keep an eye on your friend Ellen. And stay away from the soldiers. Your mother told me about what happened on Osterbrigade.
Anne-Marie shrugged. She had almost forgotten the incident.
It was nothing. They were only bored and looking for someone to talk to, I think.
She turned to her father.
Papa, do you remember what you heard the boy say to the soldier? That all of Denmark would be the king's bodyguard?
Her father smiled.
I have never forgotten it, he said.
Well,
Anne-Marie said slowly,
now I think that all of Denmark must be bodyguard for the Jews as well.
So we shall be, Papa replied.
Peter stood.
I must go, he said. And you, Longlegs, it is way past your bedtime now.
He hugged Anne-Marie again. Later, once more in her bed beside the warm cocoon of her sister, Anne-Marie remembered how her father had said 3 years before that he would die to protect the king, that her mother would too. And Anne-Marie, 7 years old, had announced proudly that she also would.
Now she was 10, with long legs and no more silly dreams of pink frosted cupcakes. And now she and all the Danes were to be bodyguard for Ellen and Ellen's parents and all of Denmark's Jews. Would she die to protect them? Truly? Anne Marie was honest enough to admit, there in the darkness, to herself, that she wasn't sure. For a moment, she felt frightened, but she pulled the blanket up higher around her neck and relaxed. It was all imaginary, anyway, not real. It was only in the fairy tales that people were called upon to be so brave, to die for one another. Not in real-life Denmark. Oh, there were the soldiers, that was true. And the courageous resistance leaders who sometimes lost their lives, that was true, too. But ordinary people like the Rosens and the Johansens? Anne Marie admitted to herself, snuggling there in the quiet dark, that she was glad to be an ordinary person who would never be called upon for courage.